to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Well, anyway, let me develop this a little further. First of all, this is the truth. They have cloned sheep, exact duplicates, now in Scotland. If that can be done for sheep, it can absolutely be done for human beings. The process of separation, a genetic separation, and then implantation is exactly the same. So, after you ask, should it be done? That's the obvious question. Should things or animals or people, not things, but animals or people, be cloned? That's the obvious question. But a deeper question is, would a clone, say of you or of me, be in itself a separate soul, an actual soul, or would it be a simple shadow of the original soul without attributes otherwise human, without rights given to any other human? Would a clone be, as we understand it, a human being, or simply a mere shadow imitation of the original? How would you treat that? Would you give clones human rights? Could you clone something so that you had available body spare parts? Well, you could. But should you? Lots and lots of good questions attendant with this. Now I'm going to admit something that has me psychologically crushed. All right? I fancy myself as getting fairly literate in the computer world. And I am not. I took a very nice laptop computer that I have, and I brought it from room A to room B. So as I might hook up, this is going to get a little deep. The computer users will appreciate it. The others, perhaps not. I've got a program called Laplink, and that allows the transmission of data from one computer to another very rapidly. It's a very efficient way of doing it. And in order to use this Laplink program, you simply plug in a parallel cable from one computer to the other computer. Easy, right? Should be. On computers, even those of you that don't know, on the back of computers, there are various plugs for a mouse and parallel connectors and serial connectors and modem connectors. But you see, they very conveniently and logically make them all a different size so that you cannot plug something into a plug it should not go into. You know, dummy proof. The only problem is I own a scanner. And for some godforsaken reason, the company that made this scanner put in a precise parallel connector, you know, just the same as the one that goes to your printer, for example, to further complicate matters. They power the scanner from the card, which means there is power on the parallel connector. Beginning to get the idea now? So I came in here, I have come to realize, and plugged my portable computer directly into my scanner card, applying God knows how many volts directly into the parallel port, probably frying the card. I thought I fried the disk drive, so I thought you cannot break the broken. So I did something I never should have done. I took my 540 meg teeny-weeny disk drive apart, thinking that I might, you know, stumble into a fix. Well, I thought the computer had just fried itself. This morning, I happened to look over and notice my scanner wasn't working, and I looked at the port, and I just put my head in my hands, realizing that I had done one of the dumbest things I'd ever done in my whole life. Given the fact that they were idiots to make the make it an exact parallel port, I was an idiot not to look first. So So I just sort of, you know, I put my head in my hands and I went, God, punish me. One of those days, folks. So anyway, there's lots of good stuff to talk about. And actually, I'm fairly well tempted. I've got a letter here from an immigrant I want to read you. It's a long letter, but God, it's good. And I've got an item sent to me, and I think I may do truth or trash here at the top of the hour. If you've never played that, you're in for a lot of fun. I may do it. Depends on my mood. We'll see how it goes here. Here are the numbers. Let us begin open line, unscreened, strange talk radio. That's what we do here. First-time callers to the program who are willing to venture forth. Area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. The wild card lines are area code 702-727-1295. 702-727-1295. West of the Rockies and toll free it is at 1-800-618-8255. If you're east of the Rockies, way back there, the number is 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. So that's the name of that tune, and here we go to the first-time caller line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
Yes, it is.
Well, I am surprised I got through.
Well, everybody says that.
Several nights ago, a man called in and said he had called Logan about the satellite, and that they kept putting him on from one person to another person.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
It was a fax, ma'am. It wasn't a call. It was a fax. And I read it on the air, and he had tried about four times. I kept hanging up on him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next day, I happened to be in Logan, and in the Herald Journal paper, on the first page, it says, Energy Flash Broke Satellite's Tether. And there's a whole article on what they feel like happened. And I thought it was quite interesting that it was the very next day after your program that it came on with this this article.
Well, you know, there's two sides to this. Now, I've seen the break, and I didn't see any charred pieces of tether. As a matter of fact, I've got to say, what I saw of the broken tether looked like a stress break to me. But they're saying that it was a charge. Is that right?
Yes.
Hmm. I take it you're calling from Utah.
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, look, I appreciate it. I've seen the pictures of the broken tether, and they don't have any, you know, if it was a charge that did that, an overload, then it should have been burned. It should have looked burned, I think. Now, I can't tell you what the dynamics of that in space would be, and I'm not, perhaps that would change the dynamics of what an overload break would do. I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Did you hear that in Mexico City that a new volcano is erupting?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have that right here. A giant volcano near Mexico City began to belch gas and ash into the air early Tuesday, triggering an alert but causing no damage. Television pictures showed gray clouds of ash and sulfur rising from the center of the volcano, located 25 miles east of the Mexican capital.
Yeah, it just seems like the entire Ring of Fire is living up to its name, Ring of Fire.
It is. Sure, yeah. It is.
Yeah, and I'm here in Marysville, California, and according to Gordon Michael Scallion's map, that put us in the need of a boat.
Well, You know, remember those concrete boats people used to build in their front lawns?
No, I'm not that old.
Get off my... All right, thank you. Yeah, they used to build concrete boats, figuring there's going to be a great flood or taking them out. And I've always wondered, I saw them when I was a child, and people, it was a fad, I guess. Do they float? I never really heard of anybody trying one. Generally, people would build them, and they would stay on their front lawns, annoying their neighbors. Just sit there, this gigantic concrete boat. Well, maybe they'll be the ones laughing when the rest of us are swimming for our lives, huh? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Gary in Reno.
Hey, Jerry.
Gary, G-A-R-Y.
Oh, Gary. Okay, I'm sorry.
We had a UFO sighting here in Reno tonight.
Tonight?
Yes, sir.
And what did we see?
It was described as a giant red brake light in the skies.
A giant brake light?
Yeah, a big round giant brake light appearing object in the sky.
Hmm.
It moved at a lower altitude. It went straight across from the west to the east and then vanished into the clouds. A friend of mine called the Reno airport.
Nobody saw a Chevy logo or anything, I
think. No Chevy, maybe Ford. A friend of mine called the Reno airport, and the airport told them they don't know what it was, but they think it may have been a helicopter with a infrared surveillance. The people that observed it said that it definitely was not a helicopter. It made no sound whatsoever.
Huh. Did they get a radar return on it?
Yes, it showed up on their radar.
Well, well, well. See,
oh, and
they are the airport, sir, and they're supposed to be in control of and knowing where aircraft are within their sphere of influence. So if they saw it on radar, they should know what it was.
Right. And
we think it was a helicopter? What kind of answer is that?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what we figure. That's the classic excuse, you know. The people that observed it said it was definitely not a helicopter. It flew right over where I was standing talking to someone else when someone ran up and told me about it, and we heard nothing, no vibration, no noise, nothing at all. So that was a real quiet helicopter, Art, if it was one.
Well, I believe we do have those. Either that or it was just a giant brake light UFO.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll hear from others in Reno who may have seen that. Kind of like a giant brake light. You can imagine that, can't you? You can sort of draw a mental picture of a giant brake light hovering in the air. Maybe somehow it was a reflection of a brake light. A real brake light. No, not if it was on radar. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hey, yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Believe it.
Turn your radio off. Believe it and turn off your radio.
The entire thing.
Turn that off.
Hold it, Toledo. I can't believe it.
Well... Why does everybody say that? I mean, I say you're on the air. You're up really on the air, really.
Yes, Art. Okay, Pahrump, Nevada. This is Wayne from San Jose, California.
All right, Wayne.
Okay, I know how far our voices can go and will go, but I do believe Buchanan does have the right idea, but I don't think he's going to make it. I'm very hopeful for the condition of what he's going for, but there is so much holding him back, like a little bit of...
Well, how about like losing all the primaries? I mean,
yeah,
that
like
holds
losing,
him back.
Losing a lot of primaries. Okay, I can't believe you. You sound different on the telephone than you do in the air.
Really? Yes, nobody ever says that.
No, I guess everybody does. Okay, well, I'm not going to waste your time. Great piazza. We're talking about a lot of air time. I do like your show. I've been listening to you for about a year and a half, really.
It's quite a while.
Not quite a while. I can't believe I can connect finally. But I do I do know a slight bit about Area 51. It's supposed to be a mystery, and it's supposed to maintain a mystery.
Yeah.
What do you think, Art?
I think that hardly bears more discussion. Area 51 is a secret area, sir. So, Of course they're going to keep it secret. Naturally they are. It's where we're developing the highest tech, newest aircraft, two or three jumps in technology from what we believe exists, stealth and beyond. Two and three jumps beyond that. So, of course, it's secret. Of course they're going to keep it secret. The whole reason it's there. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, I'm listening to, I guess, the Native American Indian station, Kahow.
Native American Indian?
Kahow.
In Denver?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Why is that? Why is it Native
kind
American?
Kind of a joke.
Oh, I see.
Let's see. No, Art, what are the chances of you getting... Neil Young on Dreamland.
Neil Young?
Yeah, he came out with an album in 69 called, I think it was After the Gold Rush.
Why would that qualify him to be?
Well, because the song, it was the same song, After the Gold Rush on the album, talks about silver spaceships.
Yeah.
All in a Dream.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. I'm looking for...
that's two for two.
Okay, all right. I'm looking forward to the 15th for the
Richard Hoagland?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that going to be on CNN?
CNN.
Yeah, the, you know, the press club. Is that going to be a press club thing?
No. The 15th is when he's coming on my program. He said. Now, I haven't heard from him in a couple of days, so I don't know.
But that's going to be big, though,
That'll be ahead of the news conference that he's got planned.
Is that going to be on the press club?
Sir, I don't know where it's going to be. It's a big... big whoop-de-doo news conference at which he is going to, he says, expose some incredible truths about NASA.
Okay, one last thing. I'd really appreciate hearing from Miss Sunny California.
Who's that?
Year 10.
Oh, she was on two or three nights ago, as a matter of fact.
She lights up my life.
Really? Well, it sounds like your life could use some light, sir. So we'll encourage her to call in quickly before your lights go out. They have cloned sheep in Scotland. Exact, precise duplicates. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hold on a sec. Let me turn down my radio.
Yes, by all means. Do that right away, sir.
Hi, Art. I'm from Twin Cities in Minnesota. We're KSTP Radio.
You bet. The big one.
The
big one.
The big one. That's right. I just wanted to call you and say something about this cloning business. I'm totally against it. I believe that every individual has their own right to exist in their own body, not to be cloned. If people clone, I mean, it'd be like creating a world full of slaves almost.
Well, they could be slaves. Now, it depends on what you think they are. Now, you're against the idea, but let's talk about what you think they are. If there was an exact duplicate made of you, what would that be? Would that be a human being with all the rights and with the soul of an individual? Or would that be some cheap imitation of you without a soul and any right to even exist?
I consider it without a soul, and I mean, I know this sounds weird, okay?
No, that's all right. I understand a lot of people are going to feel that way. So then it could be a slave, huh?
Yeah, well, you ever see, I know I really don't want to bring this up, but you ever see a Star Trek, like you ever watch The Next Generation?
I've seen them all.
Did you ever see the episode where they had the cloning episode?
Yes.
It'd be something like that. It'd be like almost a violation of my, I would think of it as a violation of my own body.
Okay, but... suppose you had choice. We'll use that word, choice.
Okay.
And you decided you wanted to be cloned, and you used that clone as a slave.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be okay?
I don't know. I think it'd be more morally unjust, if anything else.
Unjust. Well, why? Because if the clone doesn't have a soul, then what the hell?
I don't know. I'd look at it, you know, as... Merlin, just because, you know, even though I would consider the clone not to have a soul, you still look at it as a creature.
A creature. Oh, a creature. All right, well, a creature. All right, a creature. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996.
We're talking about a number of things. Not too much about politics because it's one of those nights for me and I've kind of had it up to here with politics. Kemp, as you must know today, that's, I guess, the big news of the day, endorsed Forbes. Against the best advice of Newt Gingrich, who said if he did, he'd be finished in the party. Buchanan said, we're going to continue fighting until hell freezes over, and then we're going to fight on the ice. So it sounds like he's staying in. But even he admits Bob Dole is the inevitable nominee. So, you know, I don't know what to say about that, except it's not too interesting. We'll see what happens in New York. But even that is not too interesting. There's going to be an opportunity to see the runaway satellite in the morning for about the bottom or south third of the U.S. A line stretching, I'll draw the line for you, and if you're north of this line, this imaginary line I'm going to draw for you, you're not going to see it. If you're south, you've got a pretty good shot. Beginning, I would say, in San Francisco, dipping down to below, above Las Vegas, north of Albuquerque, just north of Oklahoma City, then starting up again to Memphis and curving up toward Norfolk, Virginia. If you're south of that line, you've got a pretty good shot. Dallas, for example, at about 5:31 this morning. Here in Las Vegas, about 5:04 in the morning, 5:04 if you're going to be up. And I'll kind of pick some different areas and give you an idea, and you can probably or should be able to adjust your viewing from that. Yuma, Arizona, 5:45 a.m. on the 7th. And I'll look for some more of them here. I believe I've got Los Angeles somewhere. But you get the idea. As well, the shuttle is due to return just after about 4 a.m. Pacific time. Now, that may make for quite a sight if they're going to Florida, and I wish somebody would tell me. I'm not sure whether they're going to land. I would presume at that time it would be in Florida. If so, it's quite a sight to see that shuttle coming in, quite a sight. And it's very clear here, so we'd get a very good look at it. Now, believe it or not, we've been talking about cloning. They have cloned sheep in Scotland. Scientists just announced they have cloned sheep. It was on CNN last night. Now, cloning means you're producing a precise duplicate, an exact duplicate. Not close, not a twin, an exact duplicate with the same DNA, a clone. And there are lots of questions. You know, if they can do it with sheep, then they can do it with us. The process is the same. That means we now have the ability to clone human beings. They just sort of dropped that in. They said, we know it sounds like science fiction, but here it is. It has been done. Now, I've had a few faxes on the subject. Dear Art, speaking of cloning, a little humor, and we can use some of that. There was a scientist who had finally perfected the art of cloning. And being a person who was a loner and very much absorbed in his work, he decided to make a clone of himself to handle all the mundane tasks. Well, it worked well. He no longer had to go out and get the groceries, mow the lawn, and all the other little things that took him away from his work in the lab. Unfortunately, the clone developed a very bad habit. He learned to swear and was constantly doing it all over town. Of course, everyone thought it really was the scientist, and he was getting a very bad reputation. He'd spoken to the clone about it numerous times, but to no avail. One night they got into a very serious argument, and it ended up in a fistfight. He punched the clone very hard, and the clone fell down the stairs and was killed. Just then, the cops broke down the door and arrested him. Of course, naturally, he protested, told the cops that they can't arrest him for murder, since it wasn't really a person, it was just a clone that he had created in the lab. Whereupon the cops told him, "We're not arresting you for murder, you're under arrest for making an obscene clone fall." Did you get that? You're under arrest for making an obscene clone fall. Hey, Art, it's good to hear that the long-awaited technology of cloning is finally here. I can imagine the useful applications. We can clone the best soldier in each branch of the armed services and have the world's greatest army. Of course, so could everyone else, but we'd deal with that later. Or, if someone in your family is a black sheep, you could have them cloned and start all over again, this time raising or treating them differently. The question of nature us, nurture could finally be answered. The most important application, of course, would be to clone yourself. Imagine being able to send yourself out for pizza while you stay home and watch the big game. I strongly feel that any ethical questions would be outweighed by these positive uses. Bill in Seattle. And so it goes. I've got many, many more. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art?
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm calling from Phoenix. The times that you were giving in
yes.
reference to the satellite?
Yes.
Were those Pacific standards?
Yes.
Okay, so assuming Arizona is an hour ahead.
Well, that's true.
Around what time for Phoenix? Do you have
any? Let me see. Phoenix. Here it is, Wednesday.
I'm setting my alarm clock, that's why.
Let's see, March 7th at 6:03 a.m. is what it says.
6:03?
Mm-hmm.
Pacific?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so that'd be 5:03, I guess, right?
Pardon?
It'd be 5:03 for you.
If it's 6:03 Pacific, it would be 7:03, right?
7:03.
Yeah, I believe.
What time is it there now?
Oh, 13 past 1.
Well, then you're right. It's going to be light by then. That may ruin it.
Oh, you got it.
Or not. I don't know. Take a look. Thank you very much for the call. Take a look. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is a Mac Zealot, and I'm James in Baton Rouge.
Yes, sir.
And I just called to give you a hard time about your computer.
Oh.
I want to know how come someone as computer literate and technically savvy as you and loves electronics doesn't have a Macintosh.
Oh, that's your question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I told an audience here a few weeks ago about this whole Macintosh IBM thing. The Macintosh, its users will say, has a far superior operating system, was a much faster computer first, and has superior graphics. Am I about right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think of the Macintosh the way I think of the Beta recorder. The Beta recorder arguably had a far superior picture to VHS. However, VHS early on, now of course it has a very good picture now, but early on it didn't. But VHS outmarketed Beta. And it became the standard. And that's kind of what's happening right now between IBM and Mac. Mac may have been a superior system, but IBM and their clones clearly, I believe, outmarketed them.
Well, there's certainly no doubt about that. But there are tens of thousands of applications available for the Mac.
Uh-huh. Well, there's tens of thousands of movies available for Beta, too, but they don't make the machine anymore, if you follow me.
Although now Apple is making record numbers of computers. They're up in jump around between 1, 2, and 3 over, along with IBM and Compaq.
Well, look, there were a lot of people, Sanyo and Sony, making record numbers of beta machines now, and they're pretty much in junk heaps.
But even aside from that, someone who loves electronics as much as you and loves to fiddle with things should have one. I mean, you must be on the cutting edge. All the internet nerds have Macintoshes.
Well, then I'm not an internet nerd. I've got an IBM, and I like it.
But why do you like it?
Well, I like it because now, of course, they're coming out with 200 megahertz machines.
Mm-hmm.
The operating systems have changed, and there is just a tremendous pool of software available. I just like my machine.
Well, those 200 megahertz machines will choke on that 16-bit code in Windows 95.
That's 32 bits. Oh, well, everything's going to 32-bit.
Well, Windows 95.
Anyway, look, I don't want to get into a nerd argument here on the air. You know, we'll get too deep and we'll lose a lot of people. Let's just suffice to say, enjoy your beta while you can still get movies to play in it, sir. And have a good night. That's going to bring a lot of nasty faxes to me. First time caller line, you're on the air.
How are you?
Reasonably well.
This is about cloning.
Yes.
I was just...
Wait. Turn your radio off.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Goodbye. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
How to do, Art?
I do fairly well, thank
you. Okay, two things. One on the clones, one on the... thing you were talking about earlier on the right to choose to die.
Yes, sir.
Okay, on the clone thing, everybody seems to think that you're going to start off with an instantaneous duplicate. It doesn't work that way. I mean, a clone's going to start with a zygote that turns into a baby that is grown, then has to grow up.
Yes.
So, you're still talking about a human being.
You are?
Absolutely, because...
Isn't that more of a theological question than a scientific one? Or actually, you wouldn't even know. If you cloned a human being...
Well, you're starting... I don't care how you do it. When you start off as a baby, whether it's a clone or whether, you know, you're talking about just, say, a man and a woman mixing...
Perhaps, sir, you can tell me at what point the soul is inculcated...
I don't know if there is or isn't a soul in anything.
There you go.
But the fact remains that you're starting off with an egg being planted, an egg being transformed, whether we put the DNA in or whether God puts the DNA in, it's still going to grow up as a human being.
I think you're probably correct.
Okay, the other thing on the right to die. The only place where... I agree with you that every human being has the absolute right to terminate their life whenever they choose. This is correct. The only place where I would disagree with you is that there is a moral sense that you are not alone, that any time that you make the decision, you're not just affecting yourself. You're affecting every person that you have contact with when you choose to terminate your own life.
It is true.
So,
but one might argue, sir, not always in a negative way. In other words, people in their last months of life, and this is going to sound harsh, but in their last months of life, sir, can exhaust all of a family's finances. It took a lifetime to accumulate in order to remain alive in a nearly vegetative state. In diapers, with IVs dripping.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally there. The only place where I would say is that there should be some input besides just your own. In other words, when you decide to terminate your life, and if you're in a terminal state, you know, that you know you're going to die and so forth, then...
that's an individual choice, but morally, I understand certainly your argument.
Yeah. I just think that other people have a right to say goodbye.
I'm not going to argue that.
Okay.
You've got the moral high ground. But in the end, no matter what, it's their life, and people are going to make different decisions about
it. You're right. That I agree with.
Yeah. I appreciate your call, sir. There has been a decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a very shocking decision that, in essence, strikes down Washington State's law and affirms Oregon's law, allowing assisted suicide. It will, I'm sure, go to the U.S. Supreme Court, but listen to what the Ninth Circuit said. Quote, a competent, terminally ill adult, having lived nearly the full measure of his life, has a strong liberty interest in choosing a dignified and humane death rather than being reduced at the end of his existence to a childlike state of helplessness, diapered, sedated, and incompetent. End quote. That's a pretty serious decision. And should it be upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'm sure it's going to be challenged, that's going to open the door to a new era in America. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Steve in Phoenix.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
All right.
I'm glad you got away from the politics and so are the rest of my small but influential group here in Phoenix.
Oh, I see.
For the evening, anyway. I'd like to say... the sheep cloning thing?
Yes.
Okay, and the other facts you read last night and you repeated today about the population continuing at a rapid pace?
Yes.
Putting two and two together, I'm thinking that might be a way of introducing trash to truth or trash. Maybe not the sheep cloning thing, which is very hard to believe. Scottish people of all. I mean, do they have any Scottish scientists? I wasn't aware that they did.
Yes, they do.
German.
Look, sir, they've done it. It's real.
It really is.
Yeah.
What about the population thing?
It was on CNN last night. Well, I don't know. That's somebody who sent me a fax.
Okay. One last thing for the evening, Art. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but Bill Clinton.
Yes.
His first name, and it's a fact, used to be Steve. You can check the record on that. I looked it up in the hall of records.
Surely you jest.
Not kidding.
Bill Clinton used to be Steve?
Yes, sir.
No.
Check it out.
What was
your audience.
What was his full name?
Stephen J. Clinton.
Stephen J. Clinton.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
Sir.
All right, I appreciate your call.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Is that true? Can anybody else confirm that? Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mike in Tucson, KTUC.
Hi, Mike.
Has anybody mentioned the fact that that FEMA has been elevated to a cabinet position, and do you think there's any significance to that?
Well, I would say, how about they might be expecting more disasters?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they know something that we don't. A second question, how do you think one of the, speaking of animal mutilations, how do you think an alien civilization would describe observing a slaughterhouse?
It's a point well taken.
Yes.
I know that I was once near a slaughterhouse, and there was a kind of an instinctual fear that I felt. Aside from the smell,
there
was a fear, and it was almost like an animal fear.
Yeah,
and I can remember it.
And you know, pigs are real smart, and they know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
so that's the answer to your question.
Yeah.
There's a good part of animal in human beings.
Yeah. But the question about FEMA, when I first heard that, I immediately thought, geez, maybe they know something we don't.
Maybe. Thank you very much for the call. I remember when I was a youngster, we stopped near a slaughterhouse, and I had a golden retriever dog, and I never saw that dog so scared in my whole life. She was whining and crying and... She understood and felt the adjacent death that was going on. And I felt something, too. It was really weird. Slaughterhouse.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Truth or Trash coming up in about a half hour. Hi, Art. Just think, if we clone the president can do what he wants. And if it doesn't work out, he can blame his clone instead of the Republicans. John from Detroit. Dear Art, well, well, David Rockefeller's errand boy running against David Rockefeller's errand boy again. Why am I not surprised? With the exception of Ronald Reagan's first term only, we have been cloning the same president since Wilson. The sheep in Scotland are kid stuff. Bill in Santa Ana. Well said, Bill. Yes, cloned presidents. A race between Bob Dole and Bill Clinton doesn't exactly inspire. Here's somebody who says, in Phoenix, the satellite time is going to be 5:25 a.m. So there you go. About 15 degrees above the south horizon. Or this. Listen to this, folks. Oh, wow. This is incredible. I can't believe my facts got through. Art, you sound different on the facts from the way you do on the air. Seriously, I'm glad things look good for assisted suicide in Oregon. If the SOBs had let that law stand in the first place, maybe my dying uncle would not have chosen to shoot himself a couple of months ago. He could have gone out with less pain and a great deal more dignity. So we are talking about that because of the decision of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And it's a fairly controversial decision. It basically says the anybody with a terminal illness has an absolute right to take their life if they want to. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, all right. I want to talk about clones.
All right.
It seems like people think that they won't have their own brains or anything. I mean,
Well, it depends. As I said with the previous caller suggested, it could be, let's look at it philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
If it were an actual clone, that means a true, identical, precisely identical human being to you in mm-hmm. every single way, right down to DNA.
Yeah.
Would that be a separate individual or simply a sort of a shadow, a hollow shadow of you?
Well, I mean, think about it.
And when I say hollow, I mean soulless.
I mean, it'll be very much the same as you. It'll have the same color hair.
Same soul, sir?
Well, will it even want to comb its hair the same way you do, you know?
Forget the hair, sir. Forget the hair. Same soul? Come on now.
I don't believe so. I mean, because
you don't believe. Wait a minute. You don't believe what? In souls?
No, I don't believe so. I didn't say soul.
Oh, you don't believe so. So it would be the same in every way except the soul.
Yeah, I mean, what makes you is the experiences that have happened to you. I mean, they've cloned trees like the big 1,000-year-old Sherwood tree.
Yes.
But if you take that and plant it in your yard, Art Bell, you know, it might not grow at all, and you might pray it a different way. It's not going to grow up to be the exact same tree.
It's true. Lightning might hit one part of it and make it look different.
And think about it. I mean, if you were your own clone, would you do what you say? I mean, probably not, because you have strong willpower, you know?
Well, would a clone have willpower?
Oh, definitely so. I mean, if it has your same brain capacity and you have...
Yes.
Willpower, then it's definitely it. I mean,
I'm just giving you a hard time. I tend to believe exactly what you believe.
I mean, I
think it would be a separate individual, but it gets.
I mean, twins are very much the same, and
yeah.
I mean, they're not always the same exactly. But if you took one and separated, and it grew up in Michigan, and you took another one and, you know, put it in L.A., they're not going to be the same.
But there have been. Look, I'm not giving up here because there have been. Some very interesting experiments with twins that have grown up in different places. And the truth is, the similarities are so striking. The paths in life are so similar that it would scare you to death. Now, that's a twin. That's not a clone. A clone is an exact duplicate of yourself. That's what they have done with sheep in Scotland, according to CNN. And if they can do that with sheep in Scotland, they can do it with people in Detroit or L.A. or wherever. And I really think they might be doing it right now. The fact they've done it in Scotland means it can be done. If you can do it with sheep, you can do it with humans. And what have you produced? What have you produced? There is a reasonable philosophical argument to be had about what that being is. Is it a separate entity, a soul? Does it have a soul of its own? Is the soul the only difference between clone A and clone B and clone C and clone D? I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Bell, this is Daryl in Salt Lake.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to interject a little something about China this morning.
Good.
I was actually listening to a syndicated program on a local news radio station.
Yes.
And the gentleman had mentioned that he'd received a fax from a congressman, I wish I could remember the name of the person, stating that China had intended to blockade Taiwan.
That is correct. They're going to blockade Taiwan beginning, I think, Friday.
Yes.
And that the U.S. had responded by suggesting that would be an act of war. Is that
correct,
about right?
Correct.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I got that news. There was an article as well in the Wall Street Journal that detailed where they're going to be firing missiles, and they actually are going to be going over Taiwan.
Right.
This is getting really serious.
It is.
And I called Bob Crane, who was due to go to Taiwan here in a couple of weeks, and we had a long talk earlier today. He called the daughter of a vice president of Taiwan that he happens to know, and on my advice, looked further into it, and she said, don't go.
Wow.
So that's some inside info for you, and he is not going.
Wow.
Yeah.
He had mentioned, too, that the fact that said something about China threatening to nuke L.A.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think that would be a poor choice for them.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. It's there is a man named Lee running for the president's seat in Taiwan. Lee is basically a breakaway kind of guy. Doesn't want anything to do with China. China considers Taiwan to be sort of a breakaway province. A rebellious province. In other words, China considers Taiwan is theirs. And I'm afraid that if Mr. Lee, China keeps making lots of noises about Mr. Lee, and every time they do, his stock goes up a couple of points. And it's now said he's probably going to be a shoo-in for president. If that occurs, the odds are that China is going to do something rash. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mark in Honolulu.
How yes, doing? Mark, I'm great.
I caught you when I was down in Australia on Real Audio. That is fantastic.
You heard me in Australia?
Yeah, I actually called you. I was one of the you got a call from me and one of the guys.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
I wanted to say a couple of things. One on the right to to die.
Yes, sir.
I think that's a good idea that they've given dignity to people like that. My father had liver cancer. He knew it was going to happen. He refused to go to the hospital, had a doctor that would help him out in his last 6 months. He spent that 6 months getting his house in order and taking care of talking to all the kids and mom and everything.
Sure.
And the fellow went off on this really amazed us all. He actually went off within 1 hour of his actual birth date and birth time, and did it with great dignity.
Well, I do favor it. I know that a lot of people think it leads to a very slippery slope, but I think that here is one place you do have choice. It's your life, not another. It's yours. And if you decide you're not going to suffer a lingering, expensive, painful death, I'm sorry. To me, that's your choice.
I think so, too. And I've got one thing I want you to ask Hoagland when you talk to him next.
What would that be?
I listened real close. I actually taped it because it was such an interesting program.
Yes.
And he kept talking about interdimensional energy.
Yes, right.
Right? Uh-huh. And I'd like to know what he means by interdimensional. I understand the word energy, but it just sounded to me like maybe from another dimension there's energy coming into this dimension.
Yes.
So I just, you know, if you get a chance and it works into the conversation next time you have a talk with him, ask him about that for us, will you?
I'll do that. Thank you very much for the call, sir. Hyperdimensional physics is what he talks about. Hyper, as in another. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
I'm on a mobile phone. Let me stop here so I don't kill myself so I can talk to you.
That'd be good.
I am so glad to talk to you. You, as people are always telling you, your show is great. I love the music and the topics and and everything. I have a job where I'm in the truck for 6 hours, five nights a week, and I listen to you for the better part of that on KTRH Radio out of Houston.
Yes, sir.
One thing I wanted to say just quickly about politics, and then I'll move on to the cloning thing.
All right.
It's my hope that Mr. Dole will get the nomination and choose a vice president. I know not who that would be that would help the party. And I also hope that we can somehow get those Republicans to quit acting like I always say the Democrats used to, and unify and get together and see if we can't get President Steve out of office.
Can you believe that, Steve? Listen, we've got a terrible connection. What do you want to say about cloning?
Oh, well, I'm just really scared of the whole cloning thing. I think it's wrong. And what I wonder is, they clone these things, and do you have to? I mean, say you go out and you have a clone made of yourself. Do you then have to wait for this thing to grow up? I mean, it's going to
yes.
be an embryo, right?
Yes, but presumably we could begin to clone. Well, for example, listen on the radio, sir. Boy, that's a terrible connection. Why not clone 5 or 6 similar beings, or maybe there's not even really a limit, beginning all at the same time? Then you would have 5 or 6 identical beings. I'm going to be generous here, and I'm going to say beings. And I don't, the uses, you know, would be endless. I mean, you, for example, sir, could be home tilting a cold one while your clone was out doing the 5 hours a night in the truck. Oh, I tell you, science is moving, I think, a little fast for our social ability to deal with it, and that too is part of the quickening. But it is very interesting. Cloning, they actually have, so that you've got to know I'm telling you the truth. CNN last night reported that a Scottish scientist have indeed now cloned sheep. Actually cloned sheep. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is the lady that thought you looked like a young Steve Allen.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a lot of, like, really frightening and mysterious stuff happening to a lot of simple people out here, and I really appreciate being able to talk to you. And, you know, when Mr. Davenport was on?
Yes.
Well, he was talking about the glowing circular object with the green tail.
Yes.
6 years ago, on March 16th, at 10 minutes to 6 in the evening, it was still light. I sat down on my couch and looked up the slope toward my driveway less than 50 feet away, and I saw this glow, and I went to the window, and there was a huge, I'd say it had to be as big as, say, a bus.
Yes.
And it was like a pulsating, I don't know what it could be, like a energy source or something. You could look at it. It was bright, but
was it moving?
It was standing still.
Ah.
And it had a green forked, like, curved tail behind it, just like a comet, you'd think, but it was standing still over 3 fir trees at the end of my driveway.
I wouldn't like that.
Oh, God. Well, you know, Art, I'm a reasonable person, and I know that that couldn't be there, but it was. And so it sat still for just a few few seconds and then went slowly up the driveway.
Yes.
Toward a microwave tower that's for, like, cellular phones that's behind my house.
Yes.
And so that first, there was three fir trees, and the one on the end, honest to God, the next week fell over dead.
Fell over.
So it had a physical effect on... It had a physical effect, and I was frightened that it would have a physical effect on me being nearby.
Well,
and
if it can cause a fir tree to fall over dead, why, you never know about yourself.
And my neighbor burned the wood, and I was thinking, God darn it, but the stump's still there. And I wrote to Bud Hopkins about it after it happened. You know, it was so, it's so startling and unbelievable, but... So it's so wonderful to have you to talk to and listen to, because there are a lot of strange things happening to people.
There are.
And it's nice to have a format.
And this is the home for them, ma'am. Thank you very much for the call. The strange, the unusual, the bizarre, the different. This is definitely the home for it. And I don't mind. As I keep saying, there really is an awful lot more to life than politics. And I now, every now and then I just sort of get up to here with politics. I mean, I could do it. You know I can. And but I don't know. I get excited about it when something exciting happens. But right now, all I see ahead is dole, 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 dole. Far as the eye can see, it's dole. And I am uninspired. I go back to my ever-famous favorite statement made by a little CNN gal the other night, voting for Bob Dole. Kind of like kissing your sister. Nobody's doing it with much passion, but they are doing it. Art, could this cloning thing be the abomination that causes desolation? Think about it. Could a soulless being created by humans actually become the anti-human or anti-Christ? Sounds like a very bad B-movie, don't you think? Vicky in Farmington, New Mexico. Vicky... life in the modern U.S. of A. is kind of like a bad B-movie, many days. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is Jack in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Jack.
I think that O.J. missed his chance to use the cloning defense. I want to ask you something about Crossfire, but first, have you ever read any Kurt Vonnegut Jr. books?
Oh, sure.
Oh, because I was trying to, rather than going to my bookshelf and looking... Do you know which story of his had ethical suicide centers in it? And they stole the idea.
Now, I should be able to immediately tell you, and I can't. I'm sorry. It'll come to me.
And they stole the idea from Kurt Vonnegut for Soylent Green, by the way.
Soylent Green,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think about Crossfire. You had Hurricane Hugo in 1989, and I lost my cable for about 6 weeks.
Oh.
And before that, Crossfire's Tom Brady on the left and Pat Buchanan, of course, on the right.
Yes.
And after I got my cable back 6 weeks later, it was when Michael Kinsley was first there. Do you know what ever happened to Tom Brady?
I do not, and I only know rumors about Kinsley, actually.
Well, Kinsley started some kind of a computer magazine type thing.
I think that generally people who continuously argue from the left eventually implode.
Because I was wondering if Tom Brady may have died or whatever, because I have not heard anything from him since then.
Have you heard of this odd thing where human beings from time to time explode into flames and actually burn to a cinder?
With spontaneous combustion. Didn't you say you were going to have a program about that a while ago?
Coming this Sunday on Dreamland.
Oh, that's good.
I have sort of a general loose theory that people who argue every single day from the left eventually, spontaneously combust.
Okay.
In other words, once you reach a certain level of insincerity and you have told one lie too many, and the level of hypocrisy reaches an absolute zenith, you combust. You self-immolate. You turn into ash. And so we will see a continuing line of people arguing and then turning into flames from the left. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But you get what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah.
See you later. No, I don't know what happened to them. I'm sure they're still around somewhere.
We'll be right back. The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996.
Hot off the fax machine. And it goes with the topic that we've been discussing for a couple of days now about anxiety and all the rest of that. Art? Yes. I, too, have the feeling of impending dole. Impending dole. And that's about as much as I want to say about politics, because I'm in finally here in a mood where I would like to play some truth or trash, and we're going to do that here in a minute. I'll tell you about it. Now, somebody sent this to me, and I thought, well, I guess first I better tell you what is truth or trash. A lot of you will never have heard it. It is an opportunity for one person at a time to come on the air and tell a story. And I establish a special phone line for calling in with truth or trash stories. Now, the story you tell should be kinky and weird. No UFO stories. No ghost stories. Unless they're really cool. Because we have no way of adequately letting the audience judge such a story. You know, it's kind of like your word against. So we don't do those. What we want are weird and bizarre stories. Things that have happened to you in life that are almost beyond the pale. I have an example here. And we let you tell your story. And by the way, one thing I should add, if you want, it can be a bold-faced lie. In other words, utter trash. But your challenge is to lie so well that you fool our audience. Because after you have told your story, I will put you on hold, and I will then inquire of those calling whether they believe your story is truth or trash. Now, the audience is allowed to ask questions of the storyteller. I will be the judge of the stories. If your story is not cool enough, I will not submit it to the panel. That's the name of that tune. So, then we will go and survey 3 out of 4. And we will see whether the audience thinks you have told the absolute truth or whether it's total garbage. And if your job is to fool them one way or the other. So if you are a good prevaricator or you have a true, absolutely true but hard to believe story to tell, either way, we'd love to have you participate. Now, as of this moment, the truth or trash line is, everybody else, don't call. The only place you can tell a story is on this one line. Area code 702-727-1222. Now write it down. That's the only place you can call to tell a story. 702-727-1222. Now here's what got me started. I got the following in email from Dave. I work nights at a local grocery store as a night stalker. 3 of us on the crew keep our dials set at Como 1000 AM to listen to your show. We especially enjoyed the Halloween special and Truth or Trash. Thus, I have a Truth or Trash for you. Understandably, I realize these segments are sporadic, but I just had to tell this story. I grew up in a Seattle-area house that was built by a doctor early in the century. He used the building as his home and office, and his reputation is spotless among the older community members. He died in the early 60s, and his wife sold the multiple-bedroom house to my parents. With five boys in the family, we enjoyed the space inside and the large yard outside. Well, when I was in the first grade, we were studying archaeology, and the teacher, that's pretty heavy for the first grade, and the teacher wanted us to go home and try a little digging in our own backyard. My closest friend at the time, Anthony, and myself, began chipping away at a grass-covered mound in the yard, and we were thrilled to find a bone for show and tell. We figured it to be a dog bone. And the teacher displayed the find right along with the rest of the class's digging treasures in glass case in the hallway. One day the next week, I noticed our bone was gone. Asking the teacher, I found that someone thought the bone smelled bad, so it was thrown away. Disheartened, I vowed to dig up another that very day. Well, upon my arrival home, I could see a number of unfamiliar cars in the driveway. Mom and Dad met me at the end of the driveway in our car, said we were going to stay at our grandparents' for a few days. When I asked about the strange cars, they said our septic system needed some work. A few days later, we returned home to find the cars gone, along with the grassy mound in the backyard, which must have been the location of the septic tank. Well, a few years ago, my parents were selling the house to move into something more manageable with all the kids out of the house. They were itching to get away, so I volunteered to watch the place while they made the week-long trip to Reno. Real estate agent dropped by with a few prospective buyers, and I accompanied them about the yard. A question was asked about the septic system, and I showed them where I figured the tank to exist. The agent looked at me quizzically. "It's on the other side of the house," he said. I disagreed until he showed me a site plan drawn up by my father, clearly showing the septic tank on the other side of the property. The next day, I began digging into records at the county building department. I found the well log and approved septic tank plan for the location noted by my dad. There was no record of any changes to the system in the mid-60s. Now, Mom and Dad weren't due back home for a few days, so I decided to do a little more archaeological study. Our local police chief, an old friend of the family, saw me digging in the yard and stopped to make some cracks about digging to China. "Didn't your parents fix that septic system years ago?" he said. My pickaxe froze in midair above my head. Talking with the chief, I found that he was told all the commotion during that week back in 68 was just some septic tank work. He offered to do a little more investigating for me. Next night, about 9 o'clock at night, there was a knock at the door. The police chief had a strange look on his face. He said, "Forget the septic tank thing. Don't ask me anything. This is too confusing and dangerous to mess with. Let your parents sell the place and move on." "But what about," I began to say. "Just forget it," he said. I was young and impressionable. But I'm willing to take that risk today. I've begun an investigation into this situation. Maybe the good doctor wasn't so good. Truth or trash? Well, I have no way of knowing whether that story is true or not. And what I'm going to do is take three quick, maybe four quick calls, and find out whether you think that is truth or trash. And then we will depend on him emailing or faxing us with a result. But you've got to admit, it's a hell of a story. Do you think that story was truth or trash?
I'd say the truth.
Truth? Have the ring of truth to you?
Yeah, it sounds like something's possibly bad, very bad there.
Yeah, that was an awful lot of detail to have imagined, huh?
Yeah, but it's a believable story.
All right, that's one for the truth. Where are you, by the way?
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
La Crosse, all right, thank you very much. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. What do you think of that story, truth or trash?
I think it's trash.
Really?
Yeah, well,
it's got too much detail, and the sheriff would have known at the time.
So you think the guy would make a good novelist?
Yeah, I think he's a good storyteller. But does this mean that I can't talk about something else?
Yes, it means
that. Can I call back later?
Yes.
All right.
All right, bye. When we're playing Truth or Trash, that's all we do. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Truth or Trash?
Well, I think that was one heck of a story, but I just have to trash it.
Trash it. All right. Well, that's two for trash. Where are you, by the way?
I'm in San Marcos, Texas. Listen to WOL.
San Marcos, Texas. All right. Thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. You could do it. Do you think it's truth or trash?
Is this me?
Well, only you know that for sure.
Oh, gosh. Maybe it's just the way you told the story so well, but I would have to say it's truth.
Truth. All right. We have a dead tie. Where are you, dear?
I'm in Henderson.
Henderson, Nevada, of course.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, wild card line, you're going to break the tie. Do you think that was truth or trash?
Oh, I didn't know we were playing this.
Well, then you're not listening.
I turned my radio off to be
on the air. I'm sorry, we're into truth or trash now. Wild card line, you're on the air. Truth or trash?
Art Bell, I think it's trash. There's definitely too much detail. It's fiction.
Too well done, huh?
Too well done.
Hell of a story, though.
Too dramatic.
I mean,
but definitely a hell of a story.
You could write a novel about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just putting in all kinds of detail, and I can see it as a movie of the week. All right, well, I'm putting this aside. We have trashed this man's story, well told as it admittedly was. And, Dave, you need to get to us quickly. Since he originally sent it by email, he may not have a fax. But we need the answer, Dave. We'll just put it aside till we get that answer. Now, we're going to go for the real thing, or we will here in a moment go for the real thing. We're going to play Truth or Trash. This time, though, we're going to have people on the phone telling their story, and they'll tell their story, and then I'll come to you as the audience. If you want to ask the person a question, you're allowed to do that. If you just want to trash them or say it sounded good to me, you can do that. Now remember, the truth or trash line is the only place you can tell a story, and it better be a good one, too. I'm judge of that, and if it's not a good story, it does not get submitted. Here we go. On our Truth or Trash line, you're on the air. What is your first name?
Velma.
Velma.
Yes.
Velma, where are you?
Galt, California.
All right. And what kind of story have you for us?
Well, I have a kind of an oddie.
All right.
Back about 1940, I was in college taking French. Mm-hmm. And I was doing very well in it, too, and all getting very good grades. And our instructor gave us all, each one, a different book to read in French. I got my book out. It was by Balzac, Honoré de Balzac.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was The Lily in the Valley.
Okay.
So I took it out, you know, took it home and started to read it that night. I opened the book. It was impossible to read one letter in the words, even. It was like some terrible force between me and it. And I tried and tried. I couldn't read one word. So finally I put it away. The next day I saw my teacher in the library, and I said, well, I guess you're going to have to flunk me. She said, well, what's wrong? I said, well, I can't read it. Oh, well, she said, that's all right. Read some other book. So I took a big sigh and, thank goodness, read another book. Over the years, I recalled this one day when I was in a library and passed the bees and saw Balzac looking at me. So I...
Naturally, you pulled the book and took a look.
Took off the book and took it home and sat down that night to read it. Thought, boy, now, that was kind of a funny thing way back then.
I'll get it done now, yeah.
I opened the book, force was there, and it was impossible to read one word.
All right, Velma, we've got it. That's an incredible story. Stand by, Velma. Don't go away now. Now, what do you think of that? An evil force keeps Velma from reading only one book. Could it be? Velma sounded pretty sincere to me. But we'll let you determine that now. What do you think of Velma's story? The impossible to read French book. Truth or trash? Hello there?
Art.
Yes.
Call
the wild card lines. Area 702-727-1295.
I do not have my radio right now, so I've had no idea what's been going on. I've just been...
Well, then you shouldn't call. You should never call.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You should never call when you don't know what's going on. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Do you think Velma's story was truth or trash?
Well, Art, that is an interesting story.
Yes, it is. If you want to ask Velma a question, she's here.
No, I think I've heard enough. I would probably have to say truth, believe it or not. I know... Am I the first one to get through?
You are. You're the first one to render judgment on this story.
I bet you'll probably get mostly trash will be the winner, but I think it's true.
Well, I don't know. She told it pretty well. All right, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you. And I thought it was well told. The wild card line, you're on the air. Velma's impossible to read French book, truth or trash? No judgment. Wild card line, what do you think, truth or trash?
Hefty cinch sack.
Oh, what? Absolute hefty. Trash. A hefty trash bag, huh?
From a hefty imagination.
From a hefty imagination.
It's simply illogical.
All right. Maybe it is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Velma's story, truth or trash?
Yes, hello, Art. Zach in Fort Bragg. That is definitely the truth. I believe every word she says.
Well, that sounds awfully committed. Why? Why do you believe that so strongly?
It's a feeling I got when I listened that she had a conviction...
In her voice.
In her voice of what she was saying. I mean, if I would have heard anybody else tell that same story, I don't believe that.
You'd have said all baloney, but Velma just had that tenor to her voice. Yeah.
Right, and I believe something like that could happen as well.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call, and Velma, I'm sure, appreciates it. All right. Wild card line, truth or trash?
Am I on?
Yes.
Hi. I really thought she was... kind of in her own world on that story. I mean, maybe it was true to her, but it sure didn't sound very true to me.
So, you're trashing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Poor Velma. All right, thank you. Wild card line, you're on the air. Velma's story, truth or trash, you will decide.
I think you're shameless, Art. You cut her off before the kicker.
No,
I'm sure she had more to the... I think it's true, but I'm wondering why she couldn't read the book. She probably has an answer.
All right, Velma, do you have an answer, or was that the story?
That is the story.
All right, there you are. It is.
I did try one more time about 5 years ago, and I even picked another one of his books. I thought, well.
Same
thing happened.
I understand. So the answer is, Velma, it's absolutely true. Well, the panel got you. They said it was true. You told it too well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996.
This is a big favor from Jim in Honolulu. After a quick review of all the SatTrak orbital predictions for the Tethered Satellite System, TSS, Florida is the best place to observe on Thursday, March 7th, today. The best pass over Florida should be at 5:53 a.m., and last for about 10 minutes. Here are some details if you're interested. From Jacksonville, Florida, 32 degrees, 32.3 above the horizon at the peak. Miami will be 87.1 above at the peak, and Orlando 46.7 at the peak. Note that in Miami, it will be directly overhead at about 5:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A pair of binoculars makes it even more interesting. Art, I've seen this thing, and it's worth missing breakfast for just a glimpse. Hope to hear the impressions of some of your lucky Florida listeners. And now to our Truth or Trash line. Hello there.
Yeah, Cy in Bakersfield, California.
What is your first name?
Cy, C-Y.
Cy, C-Y, all right.
Like Cy Young.
Good, Cy. Glad to have you. What do you have for us?
Well, back in 1967, I was 17 years old going to school here, and my best friend and I, after school, we worked at an FM radio station. We wanted to get into radio, and we had the radio station had a nightclub for high school kids, and it was a non-alcoholic club, and we had a lot of the struggling groups from Los Angeles come up to play.
Sure.
On the weekends, and one of the groups that we got real friendly with was a group called Incense and Peppermint.
Oh,
and,
yes.
They were the Strawberry Alarm Clock. That was a song they had.
That's correct. That was a number one song,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, and they're real good friends of ours, and they came up one weekend in the summer, and they brought a couple of their friends and some girls, and they were on their way up to Monterey. There was going to be some big pop festival.
Yes.
Up in Monterey. It was going to be a big thing. And I asked my mom if we could go, and she said, no, you're 17. I was a good Mormon boy. She said, no, I want my son going with all these guys and girls, and a couple of guys look kind of scary, and he's not going to go out of town overnight. And, you know, I couldn't go. I was disappointed. And the rest is history as far as the Monterey Pop Festival. About a few weeks later, the band came back to Bakersfield.
Right.
And these two guys, Charles and Tex, and these girls got to be real good friends with them. And they had a family, and we used to go to Love Ends and Beans in Elysian Park in Los Angeles on the weekends and do all the Love Ends and do what we did as hippies. We were in the hippie crowd.
Those were the days.
And my best friend, this family, used to go out to this ranch, the Spawn Ranch, and they would, we didn't go with them, but they were trying to get us to join their family, and my best friend almost left Bakersfield and left his family to join this family because he thought it was, you know, the way to happiness and all that.
Yes.
And, I was really enticed by this family, but I had a strong family myself, and I kind of lost track of this family, but I saw them in the newspaper about 2 years later when they were found at the, Roman Polanski estate with Sharon Tate.
Oh,
and
my God.
Charles Manson and Tex Watson, whom I knew real well.
So you almost got adopted by the Manson family.
In fact, my best friend,
Wow.
I almost had to deprogram him. He really wanted to join the family. He was really enticed to the money and the sex and the drugs and rock and roll.
Oh, man, what a story, Cy.
Truth or trash?
Indeed, truth or trash. All right, stand by, Cy. I'm putting you on hold there. There you are. Cy, nearly adopted by Charles Manson and family. Truth or trash? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Cy's near adoption?
Well, I think it's trash.
You do?
For sure.
Couldn't it have been, though? I mean, the time was right. It could have been. No, huh? Trash, nope. Huh?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, where are you?
Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota. All right, well, that didn't get swallowed in Duluth. Remember, if you have a question that you need to ask Cy about his near adoption by Charlie Manson, if there's evil on earth, that's Charlie. You ever see him in jail? Talk about... Anyway. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. What do you think of Cy's near adoption by Charlie Manson?
Well, I think it's a wonderful story, but I think it's trash, because in 1967, FM wasn't doing so much rock and roll.
Yeah, but what they were doing was really fringe stuff, though.
Yeah, I'll still say trash.
All right. Well, that's Cy's going 2 for 2 trash there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Cy's story?
Up here?
Cy's story.
Boy, I don't know.
You don't know? Because you're not listening to the radio?
Is this Art Bell?
Yes. Yes. What? um. east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes, hello. What do you think of Cy's story, truth or trash?
Trash.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think trash?
Just do.
Just the way you told it, huh?
Yeah.
Sort of a little hypester in his voice?
No, just a feeling.
All right. Where are you?
Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. All right. Well, there you've got it, Cy. They trashed you big time. Three up, three down.
I understand that. That's very true, though.
You, that was my, this is a true story?
That was brushed. My brush with immortal crimedon. Yeah, very true story.
Yeah, you'd have been
immortal.
Story I've
told a million times. In fact, that one guy was pretty close. It was the first FM station in Bakersfield. It was KIFM. It was pretty much... it was the first station. It was the first back in '67. You didn't have much AOL in those days.
Man, that must have been a really a big temptation. I mean, there were a lot of good-looking women around Charlie, and there was a lot going on—sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as you said. But
it seems like those.
You know what? You better go back and thank your mama.
Yeah, now you know, my friend still thanks me today that I talked him out of that.
All right, well, you fooled him, but good, Cy.
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot, Art.
Yeah,
enjoy the show.
Take care. There you go, folks. The panel crashed big time on that one. I believe him. I believe him. I believe the story. And it could easily be, and why not? And as he said, and he even named the station early on, I remember what FM was doing. Yeah, sure, I remember those days. On our Truth or Trash line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Art?
I'm doing fine. Now, where are you?
In Tupelo.
Tupelo, Mississippi?
Yeah.
All right, what's your first name?
Jim.
And do you have a story for us, Jim?
Yeah, sure. Well, actually, I have two.
Well, we can only take one, Jim, the best one.
Okay. Just around 1964, I had a 64 Le Mans. You know how the bumpers are shaped on them.
Not exactly.
They have a point in the middle.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Okay. Yeah.
Out with a bunch of friends of mine, riding around doing things teenagers shouldn't be doing, and got to the house to drop a buddy off, and my car wouldn't start. He lived up on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, hey, why don't you go up and bring the car down and help jump me off? So I'm standing there trying to get the hood open, and all of a sudden somebody says, oh, my gosh, and I looked up just in time to see a 74 Buick Wildcat rolling backwards down the driveway toward me.
Oh, my God.
And caught both my knees in between the bumper of his rear bumper and my front bumper.
Oh.
My kneecap actually dented the front bumper on the point of my car. I called my grandfather, since I didn't want to get my folks involved. He took me to the ER, and we had x-rays made, and there was no damage whatsoever.
No damage?
No damage at all.
Ooh, Jim. Crushed by Christine. All right, stand by, Jim. We're going to put you on hold there. Jim in Tupelo, Mississippi, crushed by Christine. You remember the movie Christine about the car? And no damage? And his knee put a dent in the other bumper? Truth or trash? What do you, the voting public, think? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art sounds like trash to me.
Really?
Completely. It's just, I think it's his delivery.
You didn't like his delivery?
You're correct, sir.
All right. I appreciate your call, and didn't like his delivery. Now, remember, you can ask questions. I mean, if there's something that's really piquing your interest or that could sway you one way or the other, Jim is sitting here ready to answer your questions. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Jim's bumper story from Tupelo, truth or trash?
Definitely the truth.
That's truth. Really?
Yep.
What makes you say that? How do you think, why do you think that any human being could stand having his knees crushed up against a bumper to the point they'd put Big Den in it and not have any damage?
Well, just the way he sounded, basically.
Oh, you went by his voice. All right, well. That's how Clinton got elected. Wild card line, you're on the air. What do you think of Jim's bumped knee story? Truth or trash?
I think it sounded to me like trash, but just the way that he told the story, Art, I think that it could be true.
So you're going,
I'm going true. The story sounds too far-fetched to believe, but the way that he told it, I find it believable.
Okay, where are you?
Kenai, Alaska.
Kenai, Alaska. Well, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your show, too, Art.
You take care. All right, we'll go here. Jim's story about the bumper and the knees, and Christine, truth or trash?
I say it's trash. I think he messed up on the years. Didn't he say a 1974 Wildcat back?
Now let's find out. Let's check this out. Jim?
My car was a 64 Lamont. His was a 74 Wildcat.
And you said it happened in 64? Gotta be trash.
No, it didn't happen in 64.
Oh, okay.
My car was a 64, but it was an older car.
Well, I still think it's trash.
Okay. All right. See, that's three for trash, two for truth. Jim, they have trashed you big time.
Sorry about that, guys, but it really happened. Had a bruise from the top of my thigh down to my ankle, but no damage to the bones whatsoever.
That is and your knee actually impressed on the bumper.
It put a dent in the point of the bumper.
Oh, my God. That seems impossible.
Yeah, it does.
But, Jim, you swear on that old car of yours, on the memory of it, that that is the truth.
Certainly.
Okay, well, you got him then. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Got him. I love it when the panel starts to fall on their face. All right. Well, that was a pretty good story. That reminded me of Christine. Do you remember Christine? Remember that movie? Car would start, crush people. Start all by itself? Maybe my adding that somehow harmed the story. I don't know. I hope not. On our Truth or a Trash line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Who
is this?
Chris from Valdez, Wisconsin.
Chris from Valdez, Wisconsin?
Valdez.
Where is that?
It's a little southeast of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Good enough. All right, Chris, do you have a good story?
Yeah. I think it is.
Well, lay it on us.
All right. About 1978, my grandfather died.
Yes.
And he only had three grandchildren, me, my brother, and my sister.
Right.
And my brother was his favorite grandchild. And after he died, my mom would have to look for my brother's birth certificate once in a while, and it was always gone. And she'd look for it. She knew what it was supposed to be. She'd tear everything apart looking for it. It wasn't there. A couple weeks later, she'd look for it again. It wasn't there. Then she'd look in a place where she knew it wasn't. You know, she wasn't looking for it. And all of a sudden, there was my brother's birth certificate. This happened a lot. This happened about three or four times.
Yes.
So my mother always thought, well, why is this happening? She thought, maybe Grandpa did it. So the next time it happened, she said, Dad, I need Al's birth certificate. You know, I need it. Would you please bring it back?
And?
It'll be back. And also, another thing happened. He died right after Christmas. And a couple Christmases after he died, we had our Christmas tree set up in the living room. And we had it on a wall without a window. Or we had it in front of the window. And we were baking cookies, the kids and my mom. And my dad was in bed. And a couple hours after when we were done baking cookies, we went to the living room. And the Christmas tree and all the furniture was rearranged. And the tree was now on the wall where it was in front of the window. And that was where the last Christmas before he died, that's where the Christmas tree was.
Okay. See, this is the kind of story that's very hard to submit to a panel. They have no way of accurately judging this kind of a haunting story, Chris. Thank you, but I'm going to choose not to submit that to the panel. It's just, it's too hard to judge. So we're after a sort of a different kind of a story, and I think that our caller from Tupelo typified exactly the kind of story that we want. Or Psy did as well. That was good, that Charlie Manson thing. Boy. But hauntings are a little hard. I mean, they're just a little hard. They're so subjective. On our Truth or Trash line, you are on the air. Hello?
Hello, my name is Dolores from the Red Desert in Wyoming.
The Red Desert?
Yes.
That sounds exotic.
Yes.
but so do you. All right, Dolores, you've got a story for us?
Yes.
All right.
I started gathering documentation for a book called Spiders and Webs in Portland, Oregon in 1983. It involved cocaine corruption in the government in the state of Oregon.
Yes.
And simultaneously, unbeknownst to me, there was another man who worked for the Department of Corrections in Oregon who was also investigating governmental cocaine corruption in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
He was murdered. I started getting strange calls and visitors.
Yes.
And the police came into my house in April of 1985, and
yes,
they confiscated every written scrap of paper they could find in my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Or typed, and they carried it out. They took all, three of my children away.
They took your children?
Yes. And we weren't not allowed to see them for 110 days.
110 days?
Wait a minute.
This requires a little explanation. Dolores, on what basis did they say they were taking your children?
They charged us with medical neglect.
Medical neglect.
Which was a very vague law, and we went, and they...
Good.
They had no law in Oregon where you could not force them to take you to court. The agency had to introduce anything into juvenile court.
Uh-huh.
So we had to go to a U.S. district court in order then to take us to court. In 110 days, we went to court after my children had been battered severely in foster care. And it was documented. The children's doctors came to court, proved we didn't do it. The judge gave us full custody, ordered the agency to immediately put the children back in our possession. We were called back into we were called back into the prosecutor's office. 6 weeks later, my children were severely emotionally traumatized, and the prosecutor said that they didn't want me talking about my book. They didn't want me to rewrite it. That to ensure that I did not cause them any problems, they were going to split custody with the state of Oregon and ourselves, me and my husband.
Wow.
And then they ordered us to get out of Oregon. We did.
And you did.
We went to Missouri. They tracked us to Missouri.
All right, listen, Dolores, we got to wrap this up.
Okay. And then we went to Louisiana, and they took my children away again. And they
kept
three of them, and one of them, I tried to publish my book, and they took my children again.
Dolores
killed my daughter in foster care.
God. All right, Dolores, we got to stop it there.
Okay.
All right? Let's see what they think. Hang on. Good heavens. Now, the way I make that one out, good heavens to Betsy. As a matter of fact, I don't even have enough time to finish this right now. Dolores, are you there?
Yes.
Listen, can you afford to hold through the news?
Yeah.
This is such an incredible story. Hang in there. We'll get a judgment about all of this right after the news.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Hey, Pookie, tired of the same old let's trash the government and the politicians talk radio? Well, it's not here tonight. We're playing Truth or Trash. Dolores wrote a book called Spiders and Webs. She weaves a tale of Oregon and its dark darker aspects, chasing her, taking her children. In a moment, we'll find out what you think of that story, truth or trash. Well. You've heard about what's going on, I'm sure, in Taiwan, haven't you? The Chinese are going to blockade Taiwan. The Chinese are acting very belligerently toward Taiwan. It's too bad, because the best radio that we know of in the whole world, for the money, is made in Taiwan, and I'm increasingly beginning to believe supplies are going to be cut off. I have no way of knowing that for sure, but I'd say it's beginning to get to be a damn good possibility. AM, FM, shortwave, a built-in cassette deck, it's built like a tank. It's the best all-around, all-communications radio inside the body of a portable I've ever seen. 45 one-touch memories. Like a telephone touchpad to enter frequencies individually. Scanning. Timers. It is the best all-around radio made. And you soon may not be able to get it. We'll sell it to you now while supplies still exist at $224.95. Now, I'll tell you, if something happens... if something happens and the supplies of it dry up, we'll find another good radio, I guarantee you, and we'll sell it. Because that's what the Sea Crane Company does. But right now, this moment, this is the best one for the money. No kidding. A word to the wise. The number to call in the morning at 7:30 a.m. is 1-800-522-8863. I wouldn't blow this one off any longer if I were you. 1-800-522-8863. It is the Sea Crane Company. They endeavor to, and in fact, sell nothing but the best. All right, let us first be sure Dolores is still...
Yes.
You're still there, right?
Yes.
All right, well, here comes Judgment Day, Dolores. Stand by. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of the story that Dolores wove for us?
I think it's truth. There's too much terror in her voice not to be...
Do you think the Oregon authorities chased her all over the country, taking away her children?
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
Are you in Oregon?
Washington, Vancouver.
Washington. All right. Well, all right. I think that's kind of a cynical comment on our government, huh? Now we'll see. This would be interesting. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. What do you think of Dolores' story of torture by Oregon government officials?
I think it's probably true.
You do?
Well, it's just like the last guy said. There was a lot of terror in her voice.
Yes, there was.
She was kind of getting angrier as the story went on.
I do agree. I do agree.
I live in Washington myself, so.
I see.
And so I know a girl from Oregon who went almost through the same thing. So that's why I kind of think it's true.
That's incredible. All right. Thank you very much. My God, we're cynical out there. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello. What do you think of Dolores' story?
I have to say it is truth.
Really?
About 5 years ago, I wouldn't believe it. I was pretty naive about the government, but listening to so much talk show lately.
I think you've been ruined.
I have. I'm losing faith in the government.
Oh.
And like you discussed a couple nights ago, that, you know, we are the government.
Yes, so we are.
Like we're losing faith in ourselves.
Yes, so. We are. You're dead right, sir. Where are you, by the way?
I'm calling from California, Sunland, California.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, Dolores, they say your story is absolutely true. And what do you say?
Yes, it is.
It is absolutely true. Oregon chased you all over the place.
Yes, they did. And we were forced to sign surrenders on four of our children to protect two of them because they threatened to murder them in foster care. And we're currently going to federal court in September of this year.
All right, Dolores, thank you. Remind me not to move to Oregon. I'll tell you, I would have said not true. I would have said not true. I've got to be honest with you, Dolores, no slam. I would have said, you know, it really sounds like a case of paranoia. You know, a loose connection between the writing of the book and the problems that you're having with the family. I think I would have said that you put that together as an explanation for why they came after your children, Dolores. Again, no offense to you, but I would have said that. And I guess I would have been dead wrong, huh? First time caller line, which actually is our truth or trash line, to be accurate. You're on the air. Hello.
How are you, Art?
I'm okay. What is your first name?
Jeff from Salt Lake City.
Jeff from Salt Lake City. Do you have a cool story?
Well, mine's a celebrity sighting.
A celebrity sighting?
This past Sunday, I was walking down the frozen food aisle of the grocery store here in Salt Lake.
Yes.
And ran into Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher?
That's my story.
In a grocery store? In Salt
Utah.
Lake City?
In Utah.
In a very small city. Did she say anything to you?
No.
Not a word?
Not a word.
Then how do you know it was her?
She was surrounded by several very, very capable-looking, fine young gentlemen.
Bodyguards, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff meets Maggie. In a little town in a supermarket in Utah. Huh. I didn't even know if she was in the country, so I... Jeff meets Maggie, truth or trash?
This is Ron, the survivalist from Gresham, Oregon. I haven't listened to you yet, so I'm...
Well, then you shouldn't be calling if you're not listening. What do you think? Jeff meets Maggie, truth or trash?
I think that was hype.
Hype?
Yeah. It's small town, small story, small credibility.
All right, I got you. Thank you very much. No credibility, he says, so the first caller says trash. Not good, Jeff. All right, wild card line, you're on the air. Jeff...
Hello, Arch. My local affiliate in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, WTMJ, is off, but I do have a challenge for you.
Well, no, we can't take it. We're doing truth or trash right now. I'm sorry.
I know that.
Well, okay, well then, don't call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think? Jeff meets Maggie Thatcher in little grocery store in small town in Oregon. Truth or trash? Utah.
I'm Mac, and I'm calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Cheyenne.
That one is a total crock.
A total crock. All right, thank you, my friend. West of the Rockies, Jeff meets Maggie Thatcher, little grocery store in Utah, truth or trash? Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Art?
Yes. Truth or trash, sir?
Trash.
Trash?
Yeah.
Small story?
Very small
mind?
So infinitesimal, I don't think I could find it with an electron microscope.
Oh, man. Jeff has been really trashed. All right. Yes.
The previous one,
yes.
About the lady from Oregon.
Yeah.
It could be true, considering children's services in this state. It's entirely true. Too many of those things have happened in the past in this state.
All right. Thank you very much. But we're concentrating on it. Jeff, they trashed you big time.
Well, Art, let me explain. The Iron Lady is here to kick off the Utah-UK month-long festival.
You swear this is true?
I swear to you, she did a ribbon cutting of some English food joint in ZCMI Mall. She went to Dan's Foods in Park City, Utah last Sunday.
Park City, Utah. Sir, you nailed him. You really nailed him.
Do you want me to fax you a newspaper headline to prove it?
No. No, I believe you. I believe you, and I thank you for trashing that panel.
You have a good morning.
Yeah, you too, sir. Blew you guys away, huh? She's really up there. She's in Utah. And he really did meet Jeff meets Maggie in the little grocery store in Utah. See, you people have to be careful. You're easily fooled. Easily fooled. On our Truth or Trash line, you're on the air. Hello.
Howdy, Mr. Bell. I got a good one for you.
Where are you?
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Portland.
My hands are still sweating, and it scared the heck out of me what that lady said. I believe her.
You do? We're getting so cynical in this country. What is your first name?
My name's Todd.
Todd, all right.
Let's see. About 2 years ago, well, it was right during the Nicole Brown Simpson-style thing, me and a bunch of buddies were camping in one of the most remote places in Oregon, up there at Three Sisters Wilderness, Batolius River area.
Okay.
Let me see. How do I start? Well, okay. You got to take four-wheel drives to get up there. The road's really ruddy. It's about 30 miles of ruddy roads. It takes about 2 hours to get up to where we go.
Right.
We all have our own little tents, made our own little campsite, whatnot.
Sure.
In the middle of the night, the fire was burning low. Somebody approached my tent. I was on the outskirts, further away than everybody else, and I just figured it was one of my friends going to pull up the tent peg, you know, and have a little fun with me. And I could see... It was a pretty large person, but you can't really tell when you see a reflection. So I'm taking a look at that and figure, well, they're not going to mess with me. I'll just go ahead and go to sleep. Well, it turns out the next day we're all talking about it, and this pretty large person made a visit to everybody's tent. Most of us heard it and saw it and basically whatnot. We just, you know, it's excellent fishing, so we, you know, pretty much just...
You're trying to tell us you were piqued by Bigfoot?
Well, yeah, and let me tell you why even more.
Okay.
Where we go fishing and all around, there's no trails. Nobody goes up here, just some deer trails. And, you know, Oregon's pretty brushy. We get a lot of rain, so... there, you know, it's all overgrown, and you can only get a few little places here and there to poke your rod in to go fishing.
Yeah.
Well, good summer or summarization there about the Bigfoot thing. Pretty smart there, Mr. Bell. But I took off, you know, headed upstream, saw one of my friends leave, and being there's rattlesnakes and whatnot, you know, I figured, you know, stay in bear. So we go on, or I, you know, follow him a couple minutes later.
Yeah.
And I'm heading off, and I hear my friend fall. You know, he's down along by the river. I hear him fall. Hear the rocks tumble. I'm going, wow, you know, Bruce probably bumped his knee there, he might need help.
Yeah.
So I walk over, and then it wasn't Bruce. Bruce does not smell that bad, just to put it succinctly.
Really?
The hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was looking for a tree to climb, but because the snow gets pretty deep there in the winter times, the branches, they are all small and stunted. Scared the heck out of me. I just backed up, took off. Turned out I had passed Bruce. It was not Bruce. And basically, I believe we were piqued by a Bigfoot,
and
I ended up smelling him.
All right, Todd, can you hold on?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm putting you on hold. I have a commercial I've got to do while people consider what you just said. Todd, piqued by Bigfoot. Truth or trash? Well, okay, here we go. Peaked by Bigfoot. Can you imagine the side of the tent coming up, the stench of Bigfoot wafting through the tent? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Todd's peaked by Bigfoot story?
Well, actually, I believe it's true. This is Rebecca calling from Marysville.
Hi, Rebecca. You think it's true?
I think it's true. In fact, my brother Tom had a very similar experience in the Cascade Mountains on a camping trip at least 12, 13 years ago.
All
so
right, well.
I believe that it's 100% true because my brother had a witness. His friend also had seen something that looked very strange and looked like Bigfoot.
As
we know it.
Sort of Sasquatched.
Exactly.
Right. Thank you very much for the call. Sasquatched. Did you get that? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. Todd's peaked by Bigfoot story, truth or trash?
Art Bell, I love you bad. It's trash.
Trash, huh?
You bet.
All right. Thank you. That's two for trash, one for truth. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Todd's Bigfoot story?
I think it's trash.
Oh.
It sounds like some of the stories I used to do when I used to go fishing.
You mean you told fishing stories like that? Lies?
Yes, I used to tell Bigfoot stories to my buddies and stuff when we all went camping and stuff.
Yeah, you probably go out with a chain and a board and you make crop circles too, don't you?
No. Not necessarily. I'm not sure I go that far.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Todd. They have trashed you.
Well, that's okay. I guess I don't tell a very good truth. It's the Todd's own truth. Got a few witnesses to back me up. Didn't see any footprints, but it's the truth, Mr. Bell.
It's the absolute truth?
Absolute truth. I might put an inch or two on a fish, but I wouldn't lie about anything like that.
I see. So you'd prevaricate a little about a fish, but never about Bigfoot. And
nope.
You swear on Bigfoot possibly coming to get you if you're lying that it's the truth.
Oh, I swear, and he can bring his plebeian friends with him.
All right, thank you very much. The panel goes down in flames once again. Not doing very well, are you? I think you nailed it. The panel has nailed it, what, one time so far tonight? One time? Yes, once. Others Dolores. Spiders and webs. And the tale of the evil Oregon people. Oh, boy. All right, on my truth or trash line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yeah, I got a story for you, Art.
What is your first name?
Owen.
Owen, and where are you, Owen? All right. Lay it on us.
Okay. Last summer I was fishing, and, well, you know that Blinky on The Simpsons with three eyes?
The what?
Blink. You know the radioactive fish on The Simpsons with three eyes?
No.
Well, we caught a fish that had two tails.
Really?
Yep.
That's disgusting. What did you do with it?
We threw it back in the lake. We were so scared.
Well, you know, you'd have to wonder about that. I mean, would that be the right thing to do? Or could your throwing that two-tailed fish back in the lake possibly have caused or allowed it to multiply, causing more two-tailed fish and genetic change forever? Have you ever wondered about that?
Well, I don't know. We never fished on that lake again, I'll tell you. We got off that lake mighty quick.
All right, so that's your story. You caught a fish with two tails.
Yep.
Was the water dirty or...
It seemed like a clean lake, but...
Yeah?
But...
it's totally disgusting. It's like having four gills or something. All right, hold on a minute, Owen. Let's find out how they rate this fish story. A fish with two tails, caught and then released. What do you think, truth or trash?
Well, there's stuff like that, you know. I mean, I don't think it was, like, radiation or anything like that, but, you know, you find stuff like, you know, mutations and stuff, so I think it's truth.
Truth. Would you have thrown it back?
No, I probably would have kept it, you know, get some formaldehyde, keep it in a jar or something.
Absolutely. Charge admission, something.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. He says it is the truth. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Owen's fish story. What do you think, truth or trash?
Well, I think it's the truth, because we got whirling disease out here in the West. And
whirling? Oh, that's where the fish goes round, round, round?
Yeah.
And then dies?
Well, no, they don't die. They're just horribly deformed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but
would you have thrown it back?
No, I wouldn't have.
No, you would have put it in formaldehyde, or would have just...
I would have taken it to the taxidermist, probably.
Yeah? Yeah. Had it stuffed?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. All right, thank you very much. There's two for the truth. Gee, Owen is doing very well here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Owen's fish story. The fish with two tails. I'm doing okay.
I believe something like that could happen, you know, because did that happen out in the West?
Well, Owen, where was it?
Princeton, Minnesota.
Princeton, Minnesota.
Okay, well, it's nowhere near Hanford, Washington, so the chances are a little bit slimmer. But, yeah, I think it could happen. But tell you, Owen, why didn't you mount the fish?
We were so scared. We just threw that thing back in as quick as we could.
So it slipped you out, huh?
I guess it could scare you.
Okay, I got to change my verdict to trash.
Trash?
That's trash.
Okay, that makes... gee, you were just about to send him over the top. Instead, you didn't, and so we've got to keep going here. Wild card line, Owen's fish story. Truth or trash?
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah.
Owen, anywhere in that area, was there an Army Corps of Engineers years ago?
Army Corps of Engineers? I'm not sure.
You're not sure, because I know it's possible it could be. Or I'll say trash then.
Trash. All right, that's 2-2, Owen. You're slipping here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Owen, story, truth or trash?
I have met the Bigfoot creature. He smells like I have.
Has nothing to do
exactly
with this.
Like Art Bell.
Well, yeah. Goodbye. Has nothing to do with Bigfoot or me or the number of baths I take. Owen, story, truth or trash?
Trash.
Owen, you have been trashed.
What? I guess they got two right now.
You mean it is trash?
It is 100% trash.
Thanks, Owen. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from March 6, 1996.
And we are doing Truth or Trash, up to the top of the hour at least. And here we go again. On our Truth or Trash line, you are upon the air. Where are you calling from, please? Wait a minute. I didn't get you on the air right. Let's see. There. Now you're on the air, I think. Where are you calling from, please?
This is Milo in El Paso.
Milo in El Paso.
I'm listening on KOB out
in
of Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
Right, because our station dumps you at 3.
Well,
I'm sorry to say.
Know, I mean, they don't dump us, really.
Well, you know, I've called the station 1,000 times. They won't, I don't know, they got this thing about the guy that's, you know, on the air.
Well, I mean, they do have other obligations, Milo.
Well,
it happens.
Their priorities are not... Well,
be kind, Milo. Be
okay,
kind.
Okay.
Talk to affiliates.
Okay, they're probably listening, right?
They probably are. That's right. All right, so, Milo, you've got a story for us.
Yeah, I've got a story. In 1952, I was 4 years old, and I lived in a little island called Okinawa
with my father,
who was in the service, and I lived on top of the mountain, or on top of the island, the ridge of the island, in a little neighborhood called Awasi. And on the right out my backyard was a tall growth of bamboo, which served as a fence for most thoughtful people.
Sure.
But for children, I mean, we could get through those stalks without much trouble, and we did. And one day, me and the next door neighbor and my brother went down the precipice, which was just beyond this growth of bamboo. And we went down this muddy little, there was no path because no one had been there, you know, in years.
Sure.
So we kind of crept down this precipice in the dank and dark jungle is the way it felt to us as little children. And we came upon a big, huge slab of rusty steel, leaning up against the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
And there was enough room for us to crawl in to the hole that this big slab was covering. And we went in there, and when there was enough light in there, when our eyes adjusted, we found ourselves in this cave full of little miniature temples, made out of porcelain.
Yes.
With blue ink, you know, with blue detailing.
Yes.
Little porcelain urns, and we played around in these little urns for a while, and then we figured out that the tops of the temples were actually lids, and we pushed one of these urn lids aside, and we looked in there, and there was a skull in there.
Oh yes.
And there were bones. There was the bones of somebody in that temple, and for 4-year-old, 5-year-old children,
it was a
terrorizing experience. We dashed out of there. We thought that the person was chasing us. We ran or climbed back up and beyond the bamboo and back in the house, and I've never told anybody about this until now.
All right. Milo, stand by. Bones and bamboo. That's Milo's story. On the island of Okinawa. I could make a comment right now, but it would color how this will turn out. So I am not going to do that. I am simply going to go to the lines and say, what do you think about Milo's story? Bones and bamboo. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Milo's story? Truth or trash?
I really didn't hear it. I had the radio turned off.
All right. Well, thanks for the call then. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. What do you think of Milo's story? Truth or trash?
I'm sorry, I missed that last story.
All right, well, thanks for the call then. And we'll go to the wild card line. You're on the air. Milo's story, truth or trash?
Fascinating. Obviously, the man is full of trash.
Really? Okay, thank you very much. He trashed Milo's story. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Truth or trash?
That was pretty terrible. That's trash.
Really?
They're too young. 4 and 5-year-old kids crawling through bamboo and find a mysterious urn in the side of a mountain.
Yep. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Wild card line, you're on the air. Milo's story, truth or trash?
El trash out the ground, though.
Trash. All right. Let me tell you something. You're all wrong. I'll bet you any amount of money, Milo's story is the truth. I lived on Okinawa. I went into caves. I participated in the cleaning of bones. The Okinawan people have as their religion, a form of Buddhism, which is actually closer to ancestor worship, and once a year, those bones are religiously cleaned. I'll bet you anything that story is true. You all are wrong. Right, Milo?
Exactly right. That story is true.
You see, I lived on Okinawa for 10 years, Milo. I know exactly what the case was, but I'd have blown it for you. And you you certainly, you took them down 1, 2, 3, Milo.
I'm so proud.
Take care, my friend.
See you later.
Bye-bye. I knew that Milo had you on that one. That is how they bury the dead on Okinawa. And it is with great reverence that I was allowed once to participate in that ceremony, and you clean the bones of your dead relatives. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. On my Truth or Trash line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Dave in Honolulu.
Dave in Honolulu. Okay, Dave, do you have a story for us?
Back in the early 60s, from about 62 to 65, I lived on the island of Guam where my father was a teacher.
Yes.
And during Typhoon Karen, which was November 11, 1962, it broke the wind speed indicator at 252 miles an hour and blew our house away. So they moved us to the north end of the island where it was called Retidian Point. It was an old World War II runway where they took off to bomb Japan.
Did you say 252 miles per hour?
Yeah, it broke the wind speed indicator. It's one of the worst typhoons in the history of the planet. We also had one in May of 76 called Typhoon Pamela, and I think it was about 241.
Well, people are generally unaware. Typhoons, as a general rule, get to far higher speeds than do hurricanes because they have larger, warmer expanses of ocean to cross.
Right, and in the northern hemisphere, they're both really hurricanes or both typhoons. It's just they both move counterclockwise.
That's right. All right, so anyway,
Yeah, so the story was this, is when I was about, in 1964, I was 17, and a friend and I were out at sea, and we had learned that there was a Russian spy ship sitting out, and it was a three-mile limit in those days.
Correct.
Sitting off of Guam, full of antennas and all kind of array of stuff, you know, and the U-2 flights, some U-2 flights used to take off there from Anderson Air Force Base on the north end of the island.
I bet they did, yes.
And so we got an idea that we'll go out there and trade them cigarettes and lettuce and get some potato vodka, you know.
What? You were going to go out and in what?
Well, we had a boat, you know, a motor boat, you know, and it was about 32 foot long, and it had a diesel engine in it.
I see. You were going to go out to the Russian trawler, that's what they're called, I think.
That's it, the Russian trawler.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty big one, you know.
And you were going to trade them smokes for vodka.
Right, and we used to do a lot of trawling for what's known as wahoo over there, mahi-mahi, and, you know, tuna and everything else. Right?
Okay.
So that was our excuse. We're out fishing, you know, and trolling, trying to pick up some tuna bonita or whatever, you know. And we come up alongside, and we held up some cigarettes and a bag of lettuce and stuff that we'd purchased, you know.
Yeah.
And so they waved us up close and put out a couple fenders, you know. And next thing you know, we couldn't understand them. They couldn't understand us, you know.
Right.
But there were guys there with guns and everything, and we were looking at the array and all the radar and the antennas and whatever, you know. We got four bottles of potato vodka, and we're all excited, and as soon as we get back to the boat basin area, what's known as the Agana boat basin, Guam had been previously run by the Navy, and it still had a big, huge Navy presence, as it does today.
Yeah.
The ONI, Office of Naval Investigation, was there. The FBI was there.
I bet.
So they interrogated us, you know, and we told them what was going on. They took the vodka away. We're too young. I was only 17. Gave us a rash of...
Yes,
hell
I know.
That you wouldn't
sure.
believe.
Well, that's an incredible story.
Here's a kicker, if you
yeah.
wouldn't mind, please.
No.
After they called my parents in and, you know, gave us, you know, all the hell, and then they wanted to know what did we see, and we told them everything we saw. Well, it was just about 4 months later. I was riding my bicycle in Northwest Field again, which is on the northern end of the island, and it's right next door to Anderson Air Force Base. Well, the jungle, as is probably in Okinawa where you're at, is very dense. And,
yes.
And, you know, okay, so anyway, I put my bike down. I was following a trail. I was looking for some wild pigs back in there. I figured this would be a good place to go hunting or something. And I kept walking, got lost. And next thing you know, I had ended up on Anderson Air Force Base's, I don't know what you call it, but now I forgot. But anyway, they claimed that they didn't have nuclear missiles there or anything. And
yeah.
Sure enough, I ended up there where they had nuclear missiles that had the radiation symbols on it and everything, and I must have tripped something because the APs came down and grabbed me. then the FBI, and boy, I tell you what, I was in so much trouble.
Stumbled in nukes. All right, well, we're going with...
Well, now, and I've been with the, you know, the Russians before that, so
I know,
now
I understand.
They're figuring I'm a spy.
Believe me, Dave, I understand. If I were you, I wouldn't travel out of the country. Stand by. All right. Dave's incredible tobacco for vodka swap motorboated out to a Russian spy vessel. What an incredible story. All right. I've got Bob on Vidian. He said, this guy talks pretty fast, but it is the truth. So you get the first vote, Bob, on Vidian. One for truth, and here we go. We're going to go fishing ourselves right now. East of the Rockies, Dave's tobacco for vodka story.
James and Ronsville, it's truth.
You think it's the truth?
I sure do.
Why? I mean, it's a pretty tall tale.
Well, I think that trading cigarettes for vodka is a good idea. I'd sure try it if I was just there.
Well, they got his vodka anyway, according to his story. All
they
right.
Probably drank it.
Well, they probably did. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, what do you suppose they do with vodka like that, huh? You think they just dump it down the drains after they confiscate it? Fat chance. Well, that's two for the truth. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Dave's incredible spy story. What do you think?
I think it's not true.
The trash, in other words. You think
yes.
It's absolute trash?
Trash.
Why?
I don't know. It sounds just a little too thought out, a little too many details about where he lives and this and that. Like,
a little too James Bondy for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got you.
Trying to, like, distract us from how ludicrous it was.
All right. Well, all right. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Dave's tobacco and vodka swap story.
Yeah, this guy's pretty smooth. I think he's trash.
You think he's too smooth, it was told too well, so it's got to be garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, where are you?
I'm in Texas.
Texas, all right, thank you. Just too smooth a talker for him. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Dave's tobacco for vodka swap story.
No, his story is absolutely true, because it's only the politicians here in Duluth, Minnesota that could baffle you and put you under the river.
All right, thank you. Well, Dave, you made it the truth by one vote.
Yeah.
3-2, they say it's the truth. What do you say?
Well, it is absolutely true, and the reason I was talking so fast is because I was trying to get this a very long story, and I was trying to get it really short and get it in, but...
of course.
I'm originally from Texas, so that Texas boy should know that I'm from Dallas originally, but I spent 25 years of my life on and off in Guam, and even owned a snack food manufacturing company there and was general manager of some hotels there on Saipan and on the Big Island of Hawaii in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave. I'll bet you, you know, when you go out of the country now, they
right.
take your passport
right.
and they type in a computer. And that
right.
computer tells them all kinds of really cool, interesting things. And if you
right.
ever travel out of the country, Dave...
I'm on my fourth passport. I've been traveling out of the country since 1959.
So it's, okay, so it's absolutely a true story.
Absolutely a true story.
You'd swear on a bottle of...
Prison forever, you know.
You'd swear on a bottle of vodka.
I swear on a bottle of potato vodka.
Do you think they drank it, Dave?
I'm sure that those guys drank it, you know what I mean? What they were really interested in when they interrogated us is what did we really see out there? What kind of, you know, of hardware, you know, because we got a real good close look.
Well, you know what you should have done, Dave? You should have sat there, even at 17, crossed your arms and said, you guys want to know what we saw? Bring back my vodka. And I'll bet you'd have gotten it.
All right, well, thank you much.
Have a good morning, Dave. We'll be right back. Now, to our truth or trash line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your first name, sir?
Doug.
Doug.
KSD, St. Louis.
In St. Louis. All right, Doug. You've got a story for us, I take it?
Yes, I do. When I was 17, I made a decision to join the service and went into the Navy.
Right.
And so I got out of boot camp and get stationed on a ship. You know, it's been for about 2 months, and they had some minor problems with some of my superiors, but nothing really official.
Sure.
And one day we got up, went to roll call, and they said there was going to be a meeting at 1000 hours and 10 o'clock in the morning for people to
Good touch, sir. Good touch.
And there was going to be some special duty. So we all met in our compartment, and they wanted to volunteer. We're going to have a observer. It's supposed to be outside the skin of the ship while we were launching a harpoon missile. In fact, when we were testing them, this is many years ago.
Sure.
My ship is no longer afloat. I don't think it should be classified information. But they wanted to volunteer for starboard lookout, and nobody volunteered. And except for when nobody volunteered, this one kid, he was real straight-laced. He wanted to volunteer.
Yeah.
And first mate, he wouldn't let him. And, he turned to me and said, this is a job for you, Parker. It really wouldn't look good, you know, if you didn't do this.
They were volunteering you.
Yeah, I got volunteered.
Yeah.
So I met this cameraman. He escorted me up to the bridge. He was telling me what the job was. Basically pretty easy.
You were going to get to watch the harpoon take off, right?
Yeah, I was supposed to be outside.
All right.
On the starboard bridge.
I've got it. Okay. We've got to hurry along here.
Basically, all it is you start out at T-minus 20. You do a countdown, and at T-minus 10, they ask you a yes or no question. Is the deck secure?
Right.
And that's all there is to it. You know, then there's a countdown. If anything's out of ordinary,
they stop.
They know.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's not secure, and they stop the countdown.
Right, and they have to restart it. And they have to find out why, supposedly.
Sure, protocol.
Well, next stop, we're walking through a special restricted area by the captain's quarters, and I met the captain. And he seemed, face was completely white, he was hunched over, seemed very distraught.
Yeah.
And he mumbled something. It sounded like, whatever happens, you have full authority. And then he went into his cabin. I looked at the cameraman. He looked at me, and we both shrugged our shoulders when we walked in on through into the bridge area.
Yeah.
And he showed me the camera, which had, it was a strange format, like 16 millimeter, I believe. I'm not sure. It's been so many years.
We got to get.
He had a big canister on the back of it.
Yeah.
When the last of the tape comes out.
Yeah.
It goes into this canister. It's got a special seal. It's sealed. It was being put on our helicopter. It was flown to the USS America. It was stuck on the USS America. It was put on a jet. It was floating straight to the Pentagon.
So what do you? We got to get to it here, Doug. What had happened? I mean.
Well, after a couple minutes into the launch, somebody appeared on the bridge wing behind me. It was off camera. It happened to be the executive officer of the ship.
Yeah.
Second in command.
Quick, Doug. We're running out of time here.
He was so drunk, he couldn't stand up. So I stopped the launch twice.
So you stopped it for a drunken first officer?
Executive officer.
Executive officer. I'm sorry.
And I figured out why my captain was so distraught.
All right. We're going to have to hold it there, Doug. A drunken harpoon launch. In the interest of time, we're almost out of time. East of the Rockies, Doug's story. What do you think about that?
Sir, I think that I believe in the story.
I beg your pardon?
I believe the story.
You believe the story?
Yes, I do.
All right. Thank you very much. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Truth or trash? No? Wild card line, you're on the air. Truth or trash?
Well, I think it's trash. And if it's the truth, it should be classified anyway.
Well, you may have a point there. You certainly may have a point there. I mean, that really is, that's significant protocol breach. West of the Rockies... what do you think, Doug's story, truth or trash? Nobody's going to do that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Doug's story, truth or trash?
I think it's trash.
You think it's trash. Okay, that's two for trash. Wild card line, you're on the air. Doug's story, truth or trash? What do you think? No? West of the Rockies, truth or trash?
True.
True. All right, the next one's going to decide it, folks. That's it. We've got two for truth, and we've got two for trash. Doug's drunken harpoon launch story in the Navy. Wildcard line, you're on the air. What do you think, truth or trash? Hello there. East of the Rockies, truth or trash?
Trash.
Trash. Okay, that's it. We have trashed Doug. Doug, they say, well, Doug's gone. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Doug's gone. Probably fell off the deck. Well, that's it, everybody. We'll never know about that harpoon. Damn. All right, well, that's it. From the high desert, this is the truth. Good night, America.